So today's topic is about dream. So you all have had dreams, right? Good ones, bad ones, weird ones, I would say. Interesting thing that I found in this, there's a Sleep Foundation or the National, Psychology Today, is that, you know, we talk a lot about what dreams are and how they happen, but still, it is in the mystery that why we dream. What's the purpose of these dreams is kind of still in somewhat a mystery. Yet, you all, if you want to be healthy adults, I also did to check it out and I started to sleep 7 hours instead of 6 hours, is that you actually need to sleep 7 to 9 hours. And what, according to those studies, even if we don't feel it, sleep deficiency could cause like even a little bit of lack of concentration. Sometimes you don't know why, but you feel depressed. First thing you can check out is how many hours you're actually sleeping. And then chronic sleep deficiency could cause many other health problems. Kind of sidetrack that I learned a few things. Yeah, so we spent, give or take, about one third of our being, our life, in sleep. And I was asking, you know, I was more expecting more like childish answers from my daughter, but I guess she became very practical when I was asking. So in your dream, where do you think you are? I thought I was maybe hoping to like in a dreamland, but she was saying that in my bed, right there. But where do you think you're really in your dream? Sometimes, you know, people do these researches and they put those, you know, things all overhead and they kind of measure the brain waves of the sleeping people, and sometimes their brain's almost as active as when they're awake. And they call that's when they're dreaming. And there's also another study somehow arguing that sometimes our brain doesn't really know either we're dreaming or actually we're awake. So in dreams, sometimes you speak up or you stand up or you move your arm and hit your spouse next to you. That happens too. So dream is interesting and deeply biblical in the context. Because we have two dreamers that I kind of wanted to pick him up, but then his dreams are not exactly that. But in the Old Testament, the famous dreamer is Joseph. But yet, he was called a dreamer, but he dreamed when he was young. When he was older, what he was more capable was, not about dreaming, but dream interpretation. He was able to tell what the dream means. The real dreamer was his dad, Jacob. He dreams a lot on his way to Haran and in there coming back, you know. The two most famous dreams that he had, one is this one, and the other one is wrestling with God, right? Wrestling and all night, and his name changes as the result of that. So his name becomes Israel. And in Deuteronomy, that's what God says, when there's a prophet amongst you, I will speak to them in their dreams and the visions. So, shall we take our dreams seriously, or shall we take our dreams such a thing that something happened in my brain last night? We have so much information, it's sometimes very helpful, but sometimes not very helpful. And dream is one of the subjects. And I don't even dare to cover, you know, all that is. Probably you need to write a few books about it. So, beginning with my question, is my dream special? My answer, personal answer to you is yes, definitely. But if you ask back, does that mean, do all my dreams special? Are they all special? Then my answer definitely is no. In the biblical way, God certainly comes and talks to people in their dreams. But that doesn't really amaze me, actually. You know what amazes me is? People hear and acknowledge that dream and listen to the message. To me, that amazes me more. Because let's say you had wonderful dream last night. Let's say God flew to your house and had a cup of tea with you and told you what to do. Would you follow that instruction when you wake up? Yes or no? How about, yeah, see, that's the thing. If that instruction is understandable, reasonable, doesn't embarrass you, I would say you have more likely you'll follow that. What about those instructions could embarrass you a little bit or requires a change in your life? Like Abraham saying, leave your family, your father's house. Go to the place you don't know, I'll lead you. Or to Joseph, your woman, your engaged woman, your fiance is pregnant, but she's conceived by Holy Spirit. We're talking about, you know, the time that a lot of young ladies get pregnant by not a good reasons. If you really understand and read the historical context of the time, how Joseph replied to it is amazing. So sometimes it's about message coming from God, but many times it's about how you perceive it and actually act upon it. So, to a degree, I have to tell you, I'm a dreamer too. So, since dream, I don't want to go too heavy, I would love to share with you a few of my experiences about it. So, there's a beautiful lady that's sitting there, her name's Hee Jung. I'm going to share with you how I met her. At 30, I decided that I'm not going to get married, because I haven't seen a single happy couple in my entire life. And my parents married, divorced 3 times, one side, twice the other side. I haven't seen them being happy in any of those. And simply, I wasn't sure that I could be a good husband or father. I never had a father in my life. And it was just too much. So actually, when I was receiving my ordination, my confession to God was that, you know what, God, this is good. I'll do whatever you call me to do, and when it's done, just take me. You know, whenever it is, 40, 50, don't matter. So that's how I got my ordination at 30, and I was called to Cleveland and now serving the church, which does a lot of weddings. So what I do, I start doing weddings, and that includes meeting with the couples. And what do I do when I meet with the couple? I talk about marriage and how good it is, how fulfilling it can be. And, you know, you have to, right? I mean, you cannot tell them, like, don't marry. Marriage is not good. I can't tell them that. So I even bought a few books about, you know, the fulfilling marriage, how marriage can really lead you into, you know, more meaningful life, and how you can work that out. And after a couple of years of doing that, in my meditation, I usually meditate like 3 hours, 3 times a week. So I heard a voice actually whispering to me saying, Junchul, there's something wrong with you. just like that. My God, always very, very blunt and very forthcoming. There's no, you know, sugarcoating. So, and then I saw image coming into my mind. I'm sitting with this couple emphasizing the beauty and the fulfilling aspect of marriage and how good it can be and how they can work toward it. And I had to agree, yeah, something's wrong with me. I agree. And then I started to have a dream. In a dream, I never dated any single woman, probably, you know, after coming to U.S. But in a dream, I start to date this one lady. I never seen her face, only back and the side, but I never saw her face. But I met her, I had a dream over her, actually, at least 4 or 5 times. And I'm pretty sure it's the same lady, because it feels the same. I mean, does that make sense to you? It just feels the same. It's the same person. So we would sometimes have a cup of tea, we'd go to the park, and like after waking up from the dream, that's interesting. That's interesting. If there is a woman like that, yeah, I might be interested. So when my mother was visiting with me at the time, and when she was going back, I told her that when you go back home, you find a good young lady you like, let me know. I might be interested. You know, she got overjoyed and excited. So she went back. 2 weeks later, she calls me and saying, "Son, I found one." And that's actually hijab. That was hijab. So the story goes amazingly that that's when she somehow took a vacation. She used to work in Seoul. And the city that we're talking about, Suncheon, that's where her parents and my parents and my family live. She took a vacation and she was home. And that's exactly when my mother went back to Korea and talked to the lady who was helping the house for my sister. And they were about the same age. They became best friends. And this lady happens to be cousin to Hee Jung's mother. So when my mother talked to her, she said, "I have a niece in town. Do you want to see her?" And they called Hee Jung, and she came. That kind of shocked me, but she came, and that kind of also gained added joy to my mother's heart, and she got the photo and all that. So that's kind of how it's processing, but at the, almost the same time, there's another dream that Hee Jung's mother, as soon as she heard that, she met my mother right after that probably. She had a dream. And in the dream, her daughter was leaving Korea to marry a man in America. So she was saying bye-byes in the airport. All real story, she's sitting right there. Right? So she came. And she came to O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and I'm waiting outside to see her. And as she walks out, yes, I felt like that's the woman. That's her, you know? I mean, face, of course, I haven't seen the face, so, but it feels exactly the same of the woman that I met in my dreams. So I proposed to her. Within 24 hours, we met face to face. And she said, yes. So we are here today. And of course, I asked her, "Why did you say yes?" She's saying, "I was crazy. I was out of mind." But in a way. So that's what I was saying. Dreams have been very important in my life, entire life. And I'm a dreamer. But doesn't mean that I pray to God every night to give me a dream. No. Actually, I don't do that. I don't even try to like interpret all my dreams either. But once in a while, these dreams come. And it just stuck to my brain, and I can't forget. And my dream started when I was 6. This is the last one that I would like to share today. Some of you heard that, actually. 6, I had the mumps. Right? The mumps that kind of makes your neck really swollen. So my grandmother took me to the hospital, which was about I don't know, 8 miles, 10 miles away, and we walked. And I was six. And we walked 10 miles. I had mumps. I still remember that day, full day. It was so painful. Pain in the neck, pain in my leg. It was hot, a summer day. We're walking. I'm thirsty, I'm hungry. But grandma just kept walking. So we went to the hospital. I got the shot and felt a little better. Then stayed like in our aunt's house, like almost just a couple of hours and walked back. Same day. So, and that evening, I had a dream. In that dream, I'm playing in my familiar place. There is my grandfather's kind of cornfield, and right next to that is a small stream. And then across over that is a hill, has some trees on it. So I'm playing there. I used to play there a lot. So in my dream, I'm walking in there in the past. And as I walk, I saw a tomb in the middle of the path. And I thought, strange, because there's no tomb here. But felt something, I don't know, something is good about this one. I wasn't scared, nothing bad. So I kept walking toward the tomb. And as I was getting closer to from here to the fireplace, I would say, it kind of, like fell apart like that in half. And a being came out of it. I didn't see the face or even like, don't even know, actually man or woman. It's just, I just know it's a being. And voice came and saying, I'm your brother, I'll take care of you. And I woke up. And I was confused because in my little mind, people who are alive don't come to your dream like that. I had a half-brother whom I really love, but he was alive. Living with that. So in the morning, I asked about it to my grandmother, and as soon as I was asking her, she was in her tears and told me that I had another half-brother who had mumps, died when he was six, and was buried in some place in that hill. And I didn't know about him until that moment because he died when I was one. So, dreams are important because we are spirits, not because we are humans, just we are spirits. And dreams are our activities when our body or this corporeal self is somewhat detached from our true self. And that's when you do your journey, in a way. Your association, your fellowship in the spiritual world. Sometimes it's pleasant, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's more meaningful, and sometimes it is not. But Swedenborg's answer that I love is dreams happen because we're spirits. And it is, in a way, our training to get into the real life after this one. Because the spiritual world has different laws. It is made up of different things, right? According to Swedenborg, heaven is made of divine good and divine truth. I mean, can you even conceptualize what kind of place it could be? It's not a place, right? It's a state of being. And there's no time and the space. So to me, dreams are in a way our training to adapt this truer self. But biblically, and with all other traditions and my life, dream is also communication from within, the deeper self of you and also above, God, angel, and even sometimes your ancestors. I had many dreams. I don't really talk about those things too much because to be honest, sometimes I tell God, no more dreams. I just want to live alone and just live, you know, without all these things. Because sometimes when you have those dreams, you need to think about it. And you, in my case, whenever this dream comes, I have to think about it, and I have to understand. Then actually, I need to or have to do what I believe to do. And sometimes that's hard. And sometimes, of course, it's easy. Like also, did you have any time in your life that you woke up in the morning, you don't remember a thing, but you feel refreshed or comforted? Somehow like you feel like you're in heaven for that second. Have you ever had that experience? I mean, I did. And that's sometimes when God arranges special treat for you, that God would send an angel, and angel would take you to some heavenly angelic paradise garden, and you would just somewhat play there like a child. You don't remember a thing, but your spirit remembers it. Now, if you're having many, many nightmares, as I was sharing with Joanne, nightmares are also good for you too. There is something that's helpful to you. But also, if you would say that, I want to have wonderful dreams only, well, then be a wonderful person. If you become an angel, you'll see angels all the time. So one of the secrets about dreams is that it is good and bad at the same time. In dreams, we attract the spirits who are like us. And they will somehow communicate, associate with us. That's most of our dreams. The exceptions, when God wants to come to you, tell you something. Angels come to you, tell you something. Or even your beloved ones wants to come and communicate to you. Those are exceptions. Those are special dreams. But in general, dreams are somewhat, we associate with the spirits that are like us. And the language of dream is all symbolic. But please don't take anything you hear or see in your dream literally, because then you'll be sometimes confused. But as I was beginning with, about the dream, it's not about really what you see. It is about how you perceive it and how you take the message. I mean, I could have ignored all my dreams. I could have simply said, hey, that was nice, but such a lady may not exist. I may not have told my mom. I may not, right? There's all this probably plan that God somehow preparing for me couldn't have started even. So to me, it's just amazing. All these pieces, somehow they all interconnect at the end. And, you know, I'm not saying that we're having angelic marriage, but we're having good marriage. We're still having fun. And we have some challenges, but we just talked about today too. She had a dream, actually. And she had a dream in her dream. There was a minister giving her two shining but old-style gold rings. One for her and one for me. And she was asking, what does that mean? So it took me about 20 minutes to understand that. And an interpretation that came to me is that I think that minister in your dream is God. And the message is that we are going to get old together. Because these old gold rings are actually for grandmas and grandpas in Korea. So may God bless you. And may God be with you. May God give you wisdom and humility to accept, embrace, and understand the message that comes to you in your dreams. Amen.